Hello and welcome to our program. Today we begin a new series concerning the prophets in the Old Testament. Into the Word of God, we see that prophets in the Old Testament were sent during a time of apostasy. Their allegiance was to no one but God. They spoke with authority. They addressed the issues. Sometimes they were foretellers of what's going to happen in the future, and the era of prophecy began with Elijah and ended with John the Baptist. Sometimes they were forth-tellers. That is, they're just preaching it like it should be preached by everybody. Their message was always directed to God's people. They were denouncing the sin of God's people. They were painfully direct. We're going to be looking at these prophets. Before we do, listen to this message and song. We, like the prophets, should be sounding the battle cry.
Sound the battle cry, see the foe is nigh, raise the standard high for the Lord. Urge your armor on, stand firm everyone, rest your cause upon His holy word. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Loud Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty throng. Strong to meet the foe, marching as we go, while our cause we know must prevail. Shield and banner bright, gleaming in the light, battling for the right we ne'er can fail. And the victory's won, may we wear a crown before Thy face. Rouse then, soldiers, rally round the banner, ready, steady, pass the word along. Onward, forward, shout aloud, Hosanna, Christ is captain of the mighty.
Somebody came up with a plan that listed what we call major prophets and minor prophets. God does no such thing. I don't know why we did that. Daniel, for instance, he's considered to be a major prophet. Hosea is considered to be a minor prophet. And Hosea's book is actually longer than Daniel's book. Anyway, we're going to start out by looking at those 12 that are referred to as the minor prophets, and then we'll see what happens from there, and we'll begin today a study in the book of Hosea. As we previously mentioned, that these prophets always directed their message to God's people. They denounced sin and they were painfully direct. We see, first of all, Elijah, a great prophet that he was. He was not one of what is considered the minor prophets, but God doesn't put him in two categories anyway. Elijah, he confronts the king of Israel. Now, that is supposed to be one of God's people, but he was a very wicked king, Ahab. He was the most wicked king that ever lived, and Ahab was one day sitting in his palace when Elijah walked in. I don't know, came in from a cornfield somewhere. We don't know anything about him. He just showed up there, but he was a prophet, and he came in and he points the finger at Ahab and says, you know, there's not going to rain for another 3 years because I said so. And the reason I said so was I prayed to God. And God said, if you guys are going to act the way you're acting, it's not going to rain anymore. And I asked God why it's raining. And God said, I guess I better turn it off. And God did, because the Bible said it would happen that way if Israel went astray. So Ahab, he was straightened out by Elijah. Then there was David. He was a good man. He was a man after God's own heart. But somewhere along the way, when he got to be king, he started doing what the kings do, and they collected harems, and then Nathan came to him. You remember the story when David had taken another man's wife, and Nathan points his finger at David, and he says, thou art the man. Like I said, denouncing sin, painfully direct. Ezekiel 2, verse number 5 says, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, yet shall know that there has been a prophet among them. Ezekiel 33, verse 33 says, and when this cometh to pass, and lo, it will come, then shall they know that a prophet has been among them. We're going to begin our study with a study of the prophet Hosea. His name means deliverance, and deliverance is to be rescued or to be set free. He was a contemporary of Isaiah. He was a faithful prophet concerning pointing out the corruption in Israel. He was prepared for his work through the heartache that he would experience because of the sins of an unfaithful wife. He understood how God was grieved at the wickedness of Israel and how her sins were against the love of God. Hosea, in love and at a great cost to himself, he restored his wayward wife, and in that act saw a hope of the restoration and forgiveness that God would have for Israel. His ministry extended over 60 years. Israel at that time was very affluent, that is, they knew what prosperity was all about, but it was a time of anarchy when everyone did that which was right in their own eyes. And worse than that, it was a time of apostasy among God's people, for they had abandoned the word of God. Assyria was advancing, judgment was coming, and Hosea the prophet was straightforward about this coming judgment. In Hosea chapter 1 and verse number 1, we read the word of the Lord that came unto Hosea the son of Beeri in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, the king of Israel. Now, keep in mind, it mentions Judah and it mentions Israel. Israel, of course, in the north, and Judah in the south, God's people at that time, the kingdom had divided. And so we read the word of the Lord that came. Now, we find that phrase, the word of the Lord, came about 100 times in the Bible. And here it says the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. His name is only mentioned twice in all the Bible, once in the first verse and once again in the second verse of this chapter. In verse number 2, it says, the beginning of the word of the Lord by Hosea. Now, in verse 1, it says the word of the Lord came unto Hosea. In verse number 2, we talk about the word of the Lord by Hosea. And the Lord said to Hosea, go take unto thee a wife of the whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed great whoredoms departing from the Lord. Now, take a wife from the whoredoms? Well, it's interesting. Jeremiah, he was a great prophet of God. And back in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse number 1 and 2, it says, the word of the Lord came also unto me, saying, thou shalt not take a wife, take to thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. Well, here we have Hosea, and he says, I want you to take a wife, and I want you to take a wife from among those prostitutes over there. Well, this, you know, Hosea might say, this doesn't seem very fair to me. I mean, I have to take a wife. I have a plan, and it's not to marry somebody who's involved in whoredom. Well, it doesn't matter what your plans are. If you're going to do God's will, you're going to do it God's way and not ask any questions. God said, go and do it. Jeremiah, you can't have a wife. Maybe he wanted one. I don't know. Either way, God said, you're not having a wife. Hosea, you're having a wife, but you're going to take one of those prostitutes over there. Now, whoredoms, that was symbolic of God's relationship with his people Israel. We read back in James 4 and 4 in our study there, James referred to the adulterers and adulteresses that were had friendship with the world. And so it was a symbolic thing that was happening here. And as we mentioned earlier, Hosea would understand how God was grieved at the wickedness of his people who were adulterers and adulteresses, spiritually speaking. And Hosea would understand how God felt. And this would equip him to be able to be the prophet that God wanted him to be. And so he says, go take unto thee a wife of the whoredoms and the children of whoredoms, for the land hath committed a great whoredom, departing from the Lord. Hosea 4:12 says, the spirit of whoredoms has caused them to err. They have gone a-whoring from under their God. And so we have an example here of two men who are willing to do God's will, God's way. One was Hosea here, whose life we're studying. The other was Jeremiah. Now, we go into the book of Matthew, and Jesus was talking about people following him. And in Matthew 8, verse 19 through 21, he's talking about people coming and following him. One man said, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Also, another said, I am willing. But they said, suffer me first, me first. One said, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now, he wanted to wait around until his father died. And another one in Luke 9:59 said, I will follow thee, but me first. Let me first go and bid them farewell that are at my house. Me first. There's a lot of those me first Christians around today. Oh, yeah, I'll do what you want me to do as long as I can do it my way and my time. Not Hosea. What do we read here? God said, go take a wife of the whoredoms. And so verse number 3, so he went. And he took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, which conceived and bare him a son. So he went. Elijah, 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 3, he comes in here, and as we mentioned, he goes face to face with Ahab. He's got courage, lots of courage. But in 1 Kings 17 and 3, God said, get thee hence and turn thee eastward and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. Now, we might read here that Elijah said, what do you mean, hide myself? I've just come in here. I've told them who's in charge, and that's you, Lord, and I'm here as your servant. What do you mean, go hide yourself? Well, let's read it again. Get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. 1 Kings 17 and 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Hosea, I want you to go marry that prostitute. So he went. Elijah, I want you to go hide yourself. So he went. Abraham, Hebrews 11 and 8 says, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, he went out, not knowing whither he went. Well, we read this wayward wife of Hosea's bare him a son, and in verse number 4, the Lord said unto him, call his name Jezreel. Now, listen how many times you see that come up here. For yet a little while, and I will avenge the blood of Jezreel upon the house of Jehu, and will cause to cease the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel. Now, it's interesting, if you study that valley of Jezreel, you go all the way back to Revelation chapter 16, says the spirit of the devils was working miracles which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. And that is going to happen in the valley of Jezreel. And then if you look in 1 Kings chapter 21, verse number 1, you'll find at that time when God was speaking to Hosea, it was the palace of Ahab and Jezebel. And also you'll find that Naboth, the Jezreelite, had a vineyard which was in Jezreel, hard by the place of Ahab. And in 1 Kings 21 and 23, we read, the dog shall eat Jezebel by the wall of Jezreel. And so God had a purpose even in calling the name of this son that was born unto Hosea by Gomer, his prostitute wife, God had a purpose even in the name of that son. In verse number 6, it says, she conceived again and bare a daughter, and God said unto him, call her Lo-ruhama, for I will no more have mercy upon the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. That name means no mercy. And so you can see here that everything that's happening is symbolic. And through it all, Hosea is being prepared to be used of God as a prophet. In verse number 7, God said, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah, and will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by bow, nor by sword, nor by battle, nor by horses, nor by horsemen. Now, we need to have a little bit of a background to see what he's talking about here. He says in verse number 6, I will have no mercy, no more mercy have upon the house of Israel. But, he said in verse 7, I will have mercy on the house of Judah. Now, we need to go back a little bit and get a little background information. Way back in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verse number 4, it says, the elders of Israel gathered themselves together and came to Samuel and said, make us a king to judge us like the nations. We want to be like the nations. 1 Samuel 8 and 20 says that we also may be like all the nations. We don't want this tribes living in these tents anymore. We want to do it. We want a king. We want to do it like the world does it. Well, Samuel was not very happy about that, and he was crying out to God, and God said, don't get excited about that. It's not you they've rejected. They've rejected me, but go ahead and give them their king. Well, they got their king, and it looked good at the first. First there was Saul, then there was David, and then there was Solomon, and things were what we would call the glory days for Israel. It went really well. Well, then Jeroboam the first came on the scene, and as a result of his situation, we find the kingdom was divided. And Israel in the north, it says that all the kings of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. Now Judah, on the other hand, they had 12 kings that did evil in the sight of the Lord, but they had 8 that did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. And the result of this, Hosea 1 and 6, God said, I will have mercy upon the house of Judah and will save them by the Lord their God. They're not going to be saved by bow or sword or horsemen or horses. God says, I'm going to save them. In verse number 8 of chapter 1 in the book of Hosea, we see that his wife conceived and bare him another son, and God said, call his name Lo-ruhama, for ye are not my people, and I will not be your God. Lo-ruhama means not my people. Well, we get to verse 10, and the prophet begins with some of his prophecies. He says, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, that it shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together and appoint themselves one head. They shall come up out of the land, for great shall be the day of Jezreel. Now, we're looking into the future here, and God says, all right, even though the north and the south, they're acting the way they're acting, yet, he says, they shall be as the sand. It shall come to pass that I will gather them together. Well, there's some that teach that God's through with Israel. That's just nonsense. We see here that we read here that he's going to gather them together. It shall come to pass. It shall be, he says. Then shall the children of Judah and the children of Israel be gathered together. We'll look at more detail in this in the messages ahead, but we're looking into the time when following the tribulation period, God will bring Israel together and they will reign this world and God will reign as the king for 1,000 years. That's what this prophecy is talking about way back in the little book of Hosea. Well, then in our next program, we'll be looking into chapter 2. Be sure to be with us and have your Bible ready.
The Bible stands like a rock, undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. The Bible stands, and it will forever, when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given, all its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I expect to live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet.